Welcome to the More Business, More Life podcast. This show is for socially conscious leaders, entrepreneurs, CEO founders that have found success, but they don't have the ideal life that they would like. And what we're going to do is bring in concepts and systems so that we can increase business with millions of additional revenue while lowering our work hours, ideally below 40 hours a week. We call this More Business, More Life. And it's an and, not an or. We don't have to have either or. We can actually systemize this to have both. And those are the concepts we're going to come with each episode. Sometimes we might talk a little bit more about business, sometimes more life, most of the time, both. So welcome to the show. Welcome to More Business, More Life podcast. Today, we're going to talk about how do you design your life and then build your business around that. How do you do it? What are the small little things, and they are little and simple things that you can do so you can start having more life now? What are the things that we can do? And so we're gonna break these down, and even we're going to talk about our own struggles with these things. How did they show up and not show up so that we can help you overcome these obstacles so that you can start having more business and more life right now? Let's talk about this. I am joined by Giovanni Godina, Stephanie Vetter, and Melissa Barrett, and I'm Steve Napolitan, and the four of us are the co-hosts of this show, and we're just feeling the love. All of us are so excited to share this time. I think I was just listening and talking to all of my co-hosts, and we're just excited. When we get off these podcast recordings, we're just excited. Like, we all get lifted. So we hope you're getting as much out of this podcast as we are just sitting here talking between the four of us. And today we decided that the topic, you know, we've been talking a lot about more business and more life and all the different things and, you know, our values around it. And, you know, we thought, you know, it'd be good to get into some of the how. And it might be different for you, but we're going to give some tips and things, and we're going to let the conversation come together as it does always. But ultimately, we want to say, if we're taking this as our life, where we design our life and then build our business, our career, our abundance around that life, how do you fit it all in? How do you do this? This is the question that we're posing for discussion today. And we take it really real. Like, as you've heard on other podcast episodes, you know, tomorrow is not promised, and knowing that tomorrow is not promised, and this is serious, you know, I've said on stage multiple times, it's not like we get to a certain age in life and then we can rewind and say, okay, I'm ready, life, rewind me back so I can do it. No, here we are, whatever age we are, this is the age we are, and whatever age you are sitting here listening to this, that's where you are, and that's fine. And we still have whatever amount of life you have, so, and which we don't know. There's no guarantee, then we better make the most of it. And so that, with that precursor, knowing that that's our thought, how do we design our life and then fit everything we want in there, including making money, including having a career or a business that's going to give us the abundance to do it? As an example, I want to be with my family, but being in a box on a curb, it is not part of my equation. I would like to be able to share different parts of the world with my children. And then that takes airplanes and cars and fuel and, you know, and I got to feed them. And I mean, there's some requirements that we choose. And so then how do you make sure you have, I guess, in a way, how do you have enough and do what you love? Does that make sense? So, you know, there's lots of different ways that we do it. But I think the requirement is that we first make it a requirement. That's it, right? Like, you know, I think anything, if you really think long and hard and you think in your mind, anything that you really, really want, really, really, chances are you already have it. If you think about it. So it's the thing that you think, oh, maybe I want it, or you know, then maybe you will, maybe you won't. But it's when you really, really want something. So for me, I really, really want to live, you know? So I don't know, like, who wants to start us off? Like, what are ways as you started? Because we talk about plan or fun first. We've already had an episode on that. and you can look back for that episode. How do you fit that in? What would be the first thing that comes to mind when I say that to the three of you? And the crowd goes wild. I mean, for me, I guess I'll kick it off. I'll help you all. The thing that for me, I realized I wasn't being, for me, it was having kids that did it, you know, because my wife was always tolerant of my workaholicism. And is that a word? Workaholicism? Okay.
Melissa's,
it is today. We're inventing stuff too. Did I tell you I was an inventor? Mostly of language, making up words. So, you know, she grew up in a house where her mom worked days and her dad worked nights. So she was used to seeing that relationship that flies by the night. But I wanted more, and definitely having children, I wanted more because my dad was a workaholic and I was always the little boy that wanted to be with my dad. When I went to bed at night, he was working still. And when I woke up in the morning, he was already off to the next day. And I'm grateful for all that. But there's still the little boy that wanted to have his dad. And so when I became a dad, it became really, really serious. And it wasn't right away. Like, I actually made the mistake. And my son is my oldest. And I'll say, one day I said, hey, do you remember when dad was making that TV show? And he said, yeah, you mean the time that you abandoned us? He actually said those words, and it's heartbreaking. And that was hard to hear your son say that. And I've been able to make change, you know, before he got too old. So I'm grateful for that too. But my daughters don't understand that. He's 4 years older than my next child. And he was the one that experienced the old me more than anyone of my children. And that eye opener to me, I said, it's a must. I have to. I made the point, if I make less money, then who cares? Because this is my son's life and he's going to get older and I'm going to miss out. And by this time that this had occurred, you know, he was already 6, 7 years old by this time, maybe. And I was already starting to try to make changes. And that's why I was even aware enough to ask him that question, because I was already slowing down. But here's what I did, getting back to the how that we promised somehow here. Like, I told myself I was going to quit work at a certain time. I was going to close the laptop. And at the beginning, it was hard. Like, there were emails I promised people I would send out, and I closed my laptop. And the next day, I had to make it up. But, you know, no one died, I realized. That's the first thing I realized. No one died. And it all worked out. No one was extremely mad. But what it did is it forced me to prioritize. So this is the first thing. If you, this as any entrepreneur or career-driven person, you don't have to be the entrepreneur. You can be moving up the ladder in the corporate world, and you can work just as hard as an entrepreneur sometimes. And the reality is, if you don't stop yourself, you will keep working. Right? It's like if you pour water, it's just going to go anywhere. But if you get a cup, the water will stay inside the cup, right? Well, if we want our work to stay inside of some time limit, we have to create that cup. And I never did that. I just let it ooze out. And you know what was even worse? I love what I do. I'm a very passionate Italian man. I get really, really passionate, if you haven't noticed, right? And my voice rises and I get excited and there's a lot of passion here. And so I can work forever because I love it. And it was easy. And I was like, well, you know, they say do what you love and never work a day in your life. And that was kind of true. But also, many of us are not one thing. Now, some might be. You might have one mission and you're never going to have a family and you're not even going to have a partner. I mean, I know people that are single their whole life and they're so driven, and they came on this planet to make something, to invent something, to do something big and put all their life. And if that's you, go for it. But if you're like me, and I find many other people, I would say probably 70%, I'm guessing here, this is my own statistic after all the people I've met, I would say closer to 3/4 of our population have some other interests, like family, like travel, like, you know, other things that you might want. And so if you consume your life with making money or a career, even if you love it, you're giving up on that amazing other things in our life. Or maybe you love music or something, right? There, we're usually, most human beings are not one thing, or we're not. So if you devote so much time to that and then you become older, you're going to look back and go, oh, but I always wanted to learn how to play music. I always wanted to learn another language. I always wanted to be a dad. I wanted to be a mom. I was a mom or a dad, but absent. So sad. So in order to do this, the first rule, and it sounds a little tricky, but I think as a team here, we can articulate how we've all done it. You have to put bumpers, if you want to call it, or start and an end. You have to. If there's no parameter, then you're going to let it ooze out. You're going to pour the water all over the floor instead of having a cup. And guess what happens? The first thing I'll give you here, when you do this, and you can only fit so much in the cup, then you have to get real about what's allowed in the cup. Real, right? This means you have to get good at prioritizing what's most important. So that, because I know I did this when I gave myself all the time in the world, I was doing things that did not really matter. Maybe they mattered a little bit. It wasn't like a zero, or I wouldn't have probably done it, but there was way more important things for me to do first. And when I did that, I was able to get, I can tell you right now, I've made more money in my life now with more ease when I forced myself to get things done in a shorter period of time. Because you get really real about the priority. And then when you do the most important thing because you're serious about the priority, then guess what? Your company does better. Your career goes up. You know, I have a woman that we're consulting right now, and she was working from like 7 in the morning, sometimes earlier, all the way till like 9 p.m. at night. And I said, what are you doing? And this is a job. This is a career position. And I said, what are you being judged on? What are the priorities of your position? What results do the people that are managing you expect? And then those were given. She gave those to us. And I said, okay, well, that's all we should be working on. And she did that. And she's able to work right now. And maybe some of the team, I know Stephanie, you've worked with her as well. But like, I think she's doing like 9 to 4 or 5 now. Is that right, Stephanie?
Yes, it is. I think there's some days where there's some other, like if she stays later, it's because she's wanting to work on like the what's next. But there are days that she even leaves at like 3. And she's decided that, like, actually, these are the experiences that I want in my life. I want to be able to get home, like, make dinner with my partner. I really enjoy that. I love to garden, like, really started to tap into what else she would want to do with her time, and then made that space for it and had incredible results. I mean, she actually started to do better at work, right? Like, she started to get accolades and be asked to train others and all of that. And so I think, in order to have that change, I think step one, you even have to go back, like before we go, okay, how, like, why? Why do you want that change? Like, what is the motivation? And to sit with yourself and figure out what that is. And I know, like, for you, you said it was kids. For me, that was true too. And I remembered having, after I had my daughter, like going back to work. And that was the hardest thing. And there's so much around that, like to be a working mom, to be a stay-at-home mom. I didn't have a choice. Like some people do have choice, and that's amazing. I love to work, same as you. Like I love what I do. I love connecting with people, building community, like helping clients. I love all of that. So I did want to go back to work, but I didn't want to go like this, like, you know, the speedometer to go from here to 100. And to then sacrifice a couple of years where I wasn't as present. I mean, that was, if I would have had somebody to tell me that I could figure out a way to have both, to have that balance, I would have been like, oh my gosh, tell me how. But you have to, I think the why has to be strong. Like what do you want the life part to be? What do you want that to look like? And how important is it to you to have more of the life than the business in your day? That's what came up for me when you said that. I was like, wait, why though? Like there does have to be a why, because you have to have that desire for change. That's what's going to motivate you to take action and then follow, like you say, follow your bliss.
And I think that comes through and plan your fun first, but to bring it to the next level with what you're saying, in order to take it serious, that's where we have to put that on our calendar. So we might all, and I know everyone here, we all have other things in our life because we've talked about it and we know each other. And we, how many years did we let it fall off? Because we didn't put it on our calendar. So I think to add a step to what you're saying, Stephanie, we have to take that why. Okay, I want to be with my family, or I want, or whatever it is, and put that on your calendar so that you have the marker. So that's the mechanism that helped me. If I don't put something on my calendar, then it doesn't exist. You know, and the thing about it is, some of my friends have made fun of me. They're like, you have to put your wife and your kids on your calendar, then you must not love them. And I'm like, it's the opposite, my friend. If they're on my calendar, then I'm not going to make a mistake. How many times I got so passionate? Remember, I told you I'm a passionate man. I could be like working and then all of a sudden look up and say, oh my gosh, I promised my wife I would take her to dinner tonight. And then now it's 8 o'clock. Oh crap. I screwed up. Right.
I've done that. I've done it recently. Even knowing this strategy, I've done it. And then it's like, oh my gosh, where did the evening go? And that's time you can't get back.
Yeah.
Which is harder when you have kids and they're getting so big so fast. It's like, you can't rewind. So it's big.
Yeah.
I think it sounds, it's like counterintuitive, right? Putting constraints on oneself to have more freedom or more of what you want. But it's like any scenario you think of, like when like startups, you know, that they're bootstrapping, right? They got to come up with creative ways to get their business to where they want it. Or with your calendar, it's having those constraints. You got to get creative to getting the work done in a time frame. I think what I've noticed with a lot of our clients when they come in is that, yes, they'll put it on the calendar, but then they don't hold themselves accountable to it. And then it's just like, because most of our clients are passionate about what they do and who they're working with and their clients and all that stuff. And so they put everybody else ahead of them and then they kind of come last. So they're like, they have a loaf of bread and they're handing out all of the pieces to everybody else. And then by the time they look down, the bread's gone. There's nothing left for them, kind of a thing. And it's like, it's, and I think we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but it's like, you have to take care of your, a little selfish. You have to take care of yourself first and put those constraints on you. And then I think like a lot of the things that we teach here, it's all about practice, right? It's like yoga. You might get really good at yoga, but you'll never finish yoga, kind of a thing, right? Like it's always a continuous, you'll always get better and better and better. Even if you think you're at the peak of it, if you continue on, you'll continue to get better and better. Like it's the same with our calendars. It's going to take time because you're so used to how you're doing things. People think like, oh, okay, well, I'll just listen to Steve. And then they do it. And then one day they do it. And then the next day kind of just, they kind of do it. Then the next day they less do it. And then they, all of a sudden by the end of the week, they're not doing it. And they're like, well, that didn't work. But it's like, you didn't have that consistency and didn't have allow yourself, because I think as humans, we get so ingrained in whatever habit we have. And then when we try to switch that habit, we think it should happen right away. But when you think about your habits, how long have you had your actual habit, right? Most of us, it's going to be years that we've created a habit and it's gradually been created, right? And so when we create a new habit or try to create a new habit, we think, you know, like, oh, should happen right away. But then it's not. And then you're like, well, this doesn't work, kind of a thing. And that's kind of just what I've noticed with the clients. It's like, the concept's easy and simple, but it's like just doing it, kind of a thing, right? And holding yourself accountable, we'll get back to it, is, you know, putting yourself first and say, I'm going to stick with this. And that way you'll show up better for everybody else in your life, your family, your clients, whoever else.
Well, and just one thing to add onto that real quick, because just trying to be how-centric, the way that it worked for me, again, being the passionate person that would definitely go overtime, I had to plan my fun first. I know I said it a whole bunch of times already on this podcast, and we did a whole other podcast on this, but I just want to take it to the seriousness of it. I had to spend money and book reservations and do it. So like I'd have to book a reservation with my wife at a restaurant so that I knew I had that thing there. And then I had signed up for music lessons where I'm paying for those music lessons. And when I pay, I tend to show up because I'm like, I paid for this class. I better show up, right? So signing up for classes, booking time with others, because then you're more likely to show up. If you just book time with yourself, those tend to be the easiest ones to, we'll cancel on ourselves more than any person in the world. And it shouldn't be that way. Like, to your point, Giovanni, we need to be a little selfish with that, because when you take care of yourself, you're actually going to help a lot more people in the world. But I just want to, that's a whole nother effort that we need to learn. But right now, if you're on the weaker side of this, and I don't mean that to say anything about you, it's just out of practice, like Giovanni's saying, like, it's just something new and it takes time. And sometimes we're not good at things when we first try them. So we have to give ourselves space to try it. And I would say what helps is booking time and spending money so that you hold yourself accountable.
I just wanted to jump in because I think for me, I think I've talked about before on other podcasts, planning my fun first has been a challenge. I'm like, I don't even know what fun was for me. But when you talk about how to fit things in, for me, I had to really go back to my own mindset and intention. Like, just to even understand, what do I even want for my life? And so the prioritization came, the accountability came, planning my fun first came, but it was, for me, I had to kind of start with, what is my intention? And, you know, like, why am I even here? What do I want to get out of this life? So for me, it was, because I was so used to just working. I mean, I had to work and be successful in my work. And that, to me, was the focus. I was totally focused on work. The life part was kind of like extra.
Yeah. And then just, let's go deeper on that for a second. The reason, just so it doesn't go past the audience too fast, you, and I know you, so I could say this out loud, but I want you to validate it with your words. That's what success was for you. If you looked up the definition of success in Melissa's dictionary, it was, and you were taught this, your parents, you know, yeah, showed you the example, and you worked and that's all you did. And when you did that, you were successful and you paid to take care, you know, paying was the main delivery to your family unit, was you had the money to do, and you did, you succeeded at that, but you, the other parts of life were non-existent, to the point where when you even ask yourself, oh, okay, I could do other things. Like, what do you mean? I could do something else. Like, I don't know. Can you extrapolate that a little bit more, that success was painted a picture that you did it, you achieved it.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, and honestly, I think a lot of, you know, people of color, especially, I think are taught, like, you know, you have to drive yourself to the next level. What, you know, whatever that level is, it's typically related to work in some form or fashion. You know, my mother was an immigrant, so she came here and it's like, I can have a better life here. You know, we live in this wonderfully capitalistic society. And so you're going to make sure that you have freedom in certain ways, but you think that the money is giving you the freedom when really the joy is in the journey. And I think that's what It's what you miss, right? It's like the mom guilt, you know, when you're that parent that has to travel and you're doing all these wonderful things at work, which is great. But then you look up and your kids are like 20 years old and you've missed all of the time. Not that you didn't have vacations. And, you know, quite frankly, my vacations, I'm still on the phone having meetings, even on vacation. But it's that intention where you decide you have to be intentional with your time and block things out of your time that aren't specifically focused on just your work. It was almost like me deciding to pull my life into my actual day.
And that's the illusion. Let's go another layer on this. The illusion is, if I'm not working all the time, I'm not going to be successful, when that's not true. I had the same thing. This is why you and I relate so well, Melissa, because, you know, my family, we're not Black, we're Italian, but we immigrated here. So the same thing with very little Southern Italians. They were not, you know, out of all my grandparents, only one of them had money when they came here. All the rest of the, and I'm talking one individual, not as a couple. When she came by herself, her family had a little bit of real estate in Southern Italy. So she came with a little bit that her father had given her, but the rest of the family had nothing. Like they say, like the story in my family is like pennies in their pocket. And that what they do, like literally sweep the streets of New York, literally. My grandfather like got a broom, was like one of his first jobs. And I'm grateful for all my family that did all those things. But here's the illusion. Because of that success, oh, I gotta work hard, I get a result, right? I work hard, I get a result. So then it's fed, right? It's like the, what's the Maslow, like when you ring the bell and then the
hierarchy,
the you come to eat, right? Or get water or whatever it is. We've been trained. So the reality, though, to be successful, we have to do certain things. It doesn't mean everything. And that's where we get overly consumed and we get frivolous. I'll even use that word, frivolous, with our time. We allow it to spread out everywhere. When going back to the woman that Stephanie and I were talking about as one example, but I can give you many examples. When we actually restrict the amount of time that we're going to give effort to our money-making activities, and then we focus on the most important ones, I've found almost every one of my clients, and including myself, made more money because we didn't do a whole bunch of stuff okay. We did a few things really good, and then we went home. And then we were better fathers, better mothers, better community members, knowing our neighbors. How many people that are workaholics, they don't even know their neighbor? You wave at them, oh, that's the person that lives next door. Do you actually know them? Are we living? That's the question. And going back, Melissa, you said it. We think freedom is going to come from the money. And then are we really free? I think this is one of the largest volunteer slavery in history that I could find. In documented history, we have created our own lockup and the choice is ours. And it's scary because we've been trained so well to work and succeed monetarily. When the reality is, you gotta test this out. You gotta try it. There's no other way around it. This is a hard one to dip your toe in. You know how you go to the pool and you're like, oh, what's the temperature? This is kind of one of the things you just got to jump in, but you don't have to do it forever. You can try this out for a week or two. But if you do several simple things, one, you plan what you want to do. And you might have to ask yourself, like Melissa, she hadn't done it for decades. So she was like, what? You can do stuff other than work, like serious, like rejection to it. Like, what? How do I do that? And you weren't rejecting it, but it was like, there's no space for this. There's not even a mindset. So that is all another thing. But but she did have things she wanted. She did want to be with her family more. You did have those things, but it was like just out, like this is the way it is. So you just accepted it. So you have to find those things. Then step two is the limited amount of time that you give to work. You have to get really serious to say what things are most, M-O-S-T, going to give me the result that I'm looking for in my work hours. And then you have a high discernment of where your activities should be spent, right? And again, I keep trying to break this down. I know we're being a little repetitive, but it's in those activities that allow us to have freedom. So freedom's more of a choice than we think if we allow ourselves to choose it, right? I don't know if that helps, Melissa, like putting some extra layers on what you're saying. And I'm only going over it again because I don't want, this is something that we could easily talk about. And then it just goes by and you listen to this podcast and you're like, oh yeah. So I just want to like, I'm trying to slow-mo it.
Slow it down.
Yeah, these few things, right? Because it's really only a few things. Pick how much time you want to work, fit other things in life. Yeah, slow down. We just found that reaction on Zoom here. There's the little
right?
Slow down. And then fit the most important things into those work hours. So jump in. How, as each of you learn these things, how did it show up? How is it hard? Like, you know, I mean, that's what we're mixing it in because we're not the only ones that it was hard at first.
So let's pause real quick and take a break and we'll be right back.
I just want to have an expression of gratitude right now for Pro Audio Voices. They're the ones that produce my podcast. And Becky and her team are amazing. And for those of you that know me, I'm all about wow clients, wow partners. And Pro Audio Voices is a wow partner for me. And if you want to learn more, you can go to proaudiovoices.com and you can learn about them. They also do audiobooks and they're just amazing people. Thank you, Becky.
I think everything you've just talked about is the first half. That's half of it. And then it's like, okay, so now I've decided when I'm going to close my laptop. How do I get more strategic about those hours that I am working? And you said it, like you start with prioritization, but we have another technique, and I thought I would ask it of you to really go over, you know, how to eliminate, automate, and delegate what's there so that you can, so that we can have that, because we have to take a look at, like, then if I only have these 8 hours or 7 hours or whatever I've said I'm going to work, what am I doing in those hours to make the greatest impact to, you know, what's going to drive the business forward, what is going to put enough money in the bank account, all of that. And we have to look at, you know, well, those three things specifically. And we look at that every day. Like, that is something you have to look at every single day. What can I eliminate? You know, what's not needed for me? And I know you're going to go over it better, but what of all the tasks that I do can be automated? So much of what we do can be automated to save us a ton of time. And then what can we delegate to somebody else? And I know that's Tavani's superpower, but to be able to delegate something, and, you know, I know we probably talked about it a little bit before, even if it takes you a long time to figure out how to delegate that, if there's something that you either do consistently every day that you don't enjoy doing, or something that you have to do all the time that just takes a ton of time, we have to look at those things in our job responsibility or in our life and figure out what to do with all those things. So
it's so true. You know what? I want everyone to jump in on this too, because I think we all have something to say about how this has worked and how it's not worked well when we first started. But I think, you know, it comes back to slowing down once again, because chances are most of us go to work and then we just let the to-do list dictate it. So you can have a to-do list in front of you and it's not prioritized. You just start going by the order it was received, maybe, or like what was on your list. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And a lot of us, I hate to say it, we let email drive our to-do list. We go right to our email and it's like, okay, this person needs this response and that. And we drive our thing. And then by the end of the day, you went through your email and you might not have got what I call the one thing to win. You know, every day before you start, and I like to do it the day before, when I'm going to check out so I can go be with my family or go take my piano lessons, whatever it is, then I want to say, okay, what is my one thing tomorrow? If I only do one thing, how could I make my job so worth it? And I think, so that's the first step, Stephanie. Ask yourself, if you only did one thing, what would it be? What's the thing that you do best? So then going back to what Stephanie said, you can delegate the rest. Do what you do best, delegate the rest. And if you're an entrepreneur or a CEO, then I say, how do you delegate everything? Because if, you know, as many of you know, I was paralyzed 22 months ago, and then you can't do anything. So if you're like leading the business, at some point you have to delegate everything, even if you want to keep working. I don't want to retire. I want to keep doing this the rest of my life, but I need to know that the company's going to survive without me, and I need to be able to take breaks so that I can move on. So back to this, we need the one thing to win. And then what's left, I look at every day, and I still do this, and I say, what can be eliminated? And you might think that's ridiculous. If it's on the list, it must be important. But I've actually asked myself that, and sometimes there's something on my tasks for like 30 days. And every day I asked, what can I eliminate? And finally, on the 30th day, I'm like, you know what? I can eliminate this thing. Why did I think I needed to do that? No one needs to do it. That's extra, that's not necessary. It's not helping the business. It's not helping me. It's not worth it. Let it go. Then delegation usually is next, because automation tends to take a little longer sometimes. Sometimes there's software that's already out there that makes it really fast. But, you know, sometimes we have to make certain software. We have to get it set up. Delegation gets overlooked because most people say, I can do it faster and it's going to take longer to train someone. And the reality I say to someone on that, well, then you're going to keep doing it the rest of your life. And what if it takes you a whole day to train someone else? A whole day. You had a dedicated, that was your one thing to win. You trained someone for a whole day and then they knew how to do it and you never had to do that task again. Then is it worth that day? I would say yes. And I would even go as far as say this. What if it took you a whole week? What if it took a month to train them? What if part-time you had to train them over a year because it was a highly sophisticated task? But at the end of a year, and if you're talking about your whole career, 20, 30 years, 40 years of your work life, if 1 year you train someone and then you didn't have to do that task ever again, would it be worth it? And if you're the entrepreneur or the leader of your organization or department, then you want to do that with every task. And so that's why eliminating, so what, plan your fun first, right? What am I going to do when I leave work and the work activities? Number two, when I am at work, what's the one thing to win? What's the thing that I, if I get that done, I'm going to succeed. And then number three, we look at the rest of the tasks and we say, what can I eliminate, delegate, and automate? And you ask yourself that every day. So you look in software and with AI and all these things, it is becoming more and more rapid that there are things that humans don't have to do anymore. Like we don't have assistants anymore to book meetings. We don't do that. We use software. We use Acuity. We're not affiliated with them. We don't make money off them by us mentioning this on here, but Acuity and you know, does our admin team help us with Acuity? Yes, but they set it up like 1 day a month. They'll set it like not even 1 day, like 1 hour. 1 hour a month, they set up my whole month of meeting space and then it's set. And then the computer does the rest. We send the link to clients, they book time and we're done. Like it's technology, right? So now the admin team, it didn't eliminate our admin team. Now our admin team can work on bigger things. Right, they get to get promoted. They get to move on to bigger, more important things. So what's their priority? So this isn't just you as the leader. Everyone in your company should be doing this. If everyone in your company is doing one thing to win, I guarantee you, we've doubled companies. I have one client in 18 months. We doubled their company, the revenue, because everyone in the company was doing the one thing to win. If everyone in your company was doing what the one thing to win, the most important thing, instead of checking email and letting time go by and go, oops, it's 4 o'clock. I guess I'll do that tomorrow. Does that help, Stephanie, like what you were wanting to dive deeper on?
Yeah, I just wanted you to break it down a little bit, like on each one and in what order, because I think it's, you know, like most of the things you teach, it's like it's simple, but how do we just put a name to what those strategies are and then really figure out how to apply it? And then why is it important? So, yes.
Hopefully. Well, and what's coming to me right now for the three of you, because I know I think I was the one that shared this with the three of you that, you know, that what was challenging. Like, because, you know, everyone else is going to listen to this podcast and go try it. So when you first heard me say this to each of you, my question is, what happened? What worked? What didn't work? So we can extrapolate that further. So maybe your challenge can be washed away for someone new at this.
What worked really good for me was creating timers, you know, like literally setting 15 minutes for email or whatever. And what I found is although the timers worked great, what I was timing wasn't always great. And so instead of me focusing on 15 minutes for email, I started focusing on let's use 15 minutes for like creativity, brainstorming, vision, strategy, you know, just things that were not so administrative and, you know, task oriented, but much more focused on what I could automate or delegate or, you know, those types of things. And I think that's when you start to see, you know, not only a shift in your business, but in what your one thing to win actually is.
Yeah.
So that was, for me, that was kind of a big thing.
Yeah. So prioritizing the time, what you're doing in those time slots.
Yeah.
Makes sense, Melissa, because you can get really good at timers, but then you're filling it with things that are not impacting the business enough to warrant you to leave. You know, I had a story once. I had a a person that was managing a region, and he implemented these things, and his management was just looking at his hours worked, and that he, not only him, but his team, they were all leaving earlier than anyone else in the country in his region. And so they actually called him in to and reprimanded him. They actually reprimanded. They're like, what are you doing? Leaving early all the time. And your team, we come in the afternoon. Your team's like not even here in the office. This is pre-2020. So like everyone was coming in the office. So it was very clear that they're gone. And they're like, what the heck are you doing? And then he politely said, well, before you go further, can I show you? Because I assume you haven't looked at my sheets. Like he had to only assume because his results were through the roof. And they're like, well, you better, because we're about to fire you. They actually said that. And so then he pulled up all his spreadsheets that the managers weren't looking at. This is how ridiculous this is. And I know there are other companies. They're literally looking at your man hours, not at the result. And that's sad. Now, that's not every business, but it does happen. I still see it to this day. And this is many years ago. He showed the results. And in that meeting, instead of getting fired, he got promoted. And he was now in charge of training the other regions to have that level of proficiency. Right. And because they were doing the one thing to win. And it goes back to what Melissa's saying. They weren't judged. They were no longer after that, they were no longer judged by the time investment, which when should we? I mean, this is a little bit of philosophy, but how is a human's value based on their time? Because someone could go in 10 minutes and make $10,000, and someone could spend, 20 hours and make a couple hundred bucks. Right. You know, the time is not the value marker. The result is. And that's what we should start doing. The time slots need to be based on results, not on the hours worked. And watch how quickly your life changes. Today's episode is layers, right? It's like another story about how this goes, because like we keep saying, it's so simple. Like, it's just literally a decision you can make in 2 minutes. I'm going to decide to do this instead of that. But it's all the why, like we keep bringing up, and all, what are you going to do with that time? So I think we're just iterating and iterating and iterating it. What else worked or was a struggle?
For me, the two things that, I mean, I think they all play a part. The hardest thing I thought about was like the elimination. Like, how do I eliminate something that I'm responsible for or some meeting that I'm supposed to have? But for that, like when I was managing a team, I just looked at like what the expectation was, or even when I was just managing clients. I think we've talked about this maybe we've just talked about it internally, but a lot of times we promise things to people because we think it's what they want. And so we give ourselves extra work to do because we think we need to deliver something on some day when really the expectation on the other side might be different. So I think, and this might sound silly, but even just, if a client asks for something, if there's, some deliverable, something that you have to do, and you say, oh, I'll have that to you by tomorrow, I'll have that to you by end of day. Well, like, do they need it by that time? Are we pushing other things out of the way that might be our one thing to win to get somebody something that they actually don't need in that moment or at that time? And that was something you taught me early on, like ask them when they would like that. And then you can schedule it in so that you have the time to do that. And then you prioritize that when it's appropriate. But you don't put it in front of other things. So I was looking at what part was I playing in promising to deliver things on a certain day at a certain time. Okay, this gives me time to actually then delegate that thing to someone else. And so I think asking questions when you're promising some of those things, and then just...
I think you cut out right at eliminate. So maybe just re-say that sentence.
I warned you. Just today. The elimination piece of it, I didn't think that that was something that I could do. But I was able to do it because I was asking questions of people about when they expected to have something instead of just promising it like immediately.
Yeah.
So then you could schedule it in, you could eliminate it for the day, or you could, and then put it back in, schedule it later in the week so that you didn't have to cross something else or push aside the one thing to win, to get to that thing. I don't know if I'm articulating that quite well, but
no, it makes sense. You can stay to the one thing to win that day and not lose sight of that. And that's one thing I always try to never have same day requests. So anything that comes in that day, unless it's a hot, like burning on fire, like someone's going to get hurt. And we, and your, to your point, Stephanie, we often put the expectation on ourselves. And the reality, if we ask, when would you like this? And they're like, oh, next week sometime.
That was big for me because, I mean, I always had a lot of same day meetings. There was always like, oh, we got to do this right now. I need, you know, to put this on the calendar. And then your day gets longer and longer, right? It was kind of mind boggling when I was like, I'm not available today, you know? So you learn, oh, okay, well, tomorrow or, you know, and nobody died, you know.
Yeah.
We got whatever we needed to do. It didn't have to be today.
Yeah. And then you can plan for tomorrow. Now you know, okay, tomorrow I got to add that meeting in. How can I do that? Now you can structure it in a planned way instead of it taking over. And then you get distracted and the one thing to win, going back, the one thing to win has to be precious. It's like holding, you know, a family heirloom. You're going to walk more carefully. You know, maybe you're going to use the handrail on the stairs because you're not going to drop that thing, right? It's got to be like that. Because if you drop the one thing to win every day or most days, then you wonder why your performance is not where you want it to be. Hands down.
I was just talking with someone about this yesterday. In talking to them about that, I have this huge list of all these great ideas, all these things I want to accomplish. And it's like, well, what can you do today to make movement, to like make an impact? It doesn't have to be the grandiose piece, but like what little thing can you do? Because otherwise you string together a series of days where you're not getting anywhere near it. So how do we just break that down? Like break it down to the smallest step and then take that one step. And then every day, figure out how to take one step, then you're going to be much further along than if you just keep waiting for the perfect time to do that thing. And even to break it down into like a smallest little tactic, I know one of the things I started doing when I was in sales was I wouldn't open my email until like 10 a.m. I would schedule those time blocks, you know, to your point, and put a timer and have it be like 10 and maybe 5. And then I would check my email and I put an out of office thing on saying like, in order for me to give the best service to my clients, you know, to be present in my meetings, whatever it was that I said, I'll be checking email at this time. If it's urgent, you can text me or call me. And if I'm, you know, if I'm available, I will get back to you immediately. If not, I will get to this at this point. So setting expectations too, right? But that allowed me then to start my day with business development. That was my one thing to win in sales. I had to make so many calls, and that's the biggest complaint that salespeople have is like, I don't have time. I have account management. I have all these other things to do, but you have to, like you said, it has to be that precious. And then you just have to communicate it to the people around you and let them know why you're doing this thing, let them know what's in it for them. And then it's like, okay, if they know what to expect, then it's okay, right? Like you've told them why, here's what's happening and okay. So yeah. That was huge for me. Then it never got pushed aside.
So powerful. Yeah. And then that's right sizing, you know, because if your one thing to win is building a house, don't put on your calendar, build the house. Cause then it'll never happen. It's gotta be like, well, today we're framing the foundation. We're not even pouring it yet, you know, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever you're building or doing, to Stephanie's point, the one thing to win tomorrow is one piece of that. It's like taking a bite instead of shoving the whole pizza in your mouth and now you're choking and nothing gets done. You might die. You got to take a bite. If we're going to eat a meal, it's one bite at a time. If we're going to get a big task done, it's one task at a time. So just break it down to the smallest thing to make the one thing to win. Right size your work. Thank you for that, Stephanie.
And again, I see this within myself and then within our clients, right? And one thing that kind of differentiates us is that we don't just help with like strategies and stuff like that. We help with mindset. So I would say if you've broken it down to the smallest piece and yet you still find yourself not doing it or struggling with it or whatnot, then it's like starting to look at what it is that's holding you back from achieving that and helping you move forward. Because what I've noticed from a lot of stuff I see online from other coaches and stuff like that, it's just all about, here's a strategy, just do it. And if you don't do it, do it. And like, well, Because that's why I think that's why a lot of people bounce around from coaches to coaches, from influencer to influencer, because they're looking for another strategy when it's not necessarily a strategy, because all the strategies would work, right? If you just, if you're able to do it, if you have a recipe, right? Like you say, Steve, you have a recipe for a cake and you know it makes a delicious cake, but then you give it to somebody else and the oven explodes. It's like, well, did you follow the recipe? Like, well, no, maybe not, but because of this one, my mom used chocolate when I was a kid. Like snakes flew out of the oven or something like that. You're like, well, okay, well, let's see what's going on with that kind of a thing. So like, so I just want to throw that out there that, you know, if you're listening to what we're saying and you're chunking it down and you're still finding yourself not doing those things, then it's more than likely it's some kind of mindset challenge that you're having that needs to kind of go a little bit deeper. And I'll be straight up with you. That's like probably one of my biggest ones that I've had has been all about mindset stuff. Because I can listen to because I listen to a bunch of people. I'm like, okay. But then I try to do it. And then it's like, oh, that one's not working for me. And like, this was me in the past and somewhat of me in the future of now, but not as much. It's like, yeah, you're always looking for that next step. Oh, Steve has these steps. Oh, this person has these steps. And like, and you're trying it. But then if you start to notice, or if you say to yourself, none of these people's things work, then you got to kind of look inwardly and say like, okay, what's going on? Like, what's holding me back? And that's going to be like the biggest, I think the biggest thing is, because if you think you can't automate your stuff, maybe, I think in today's world, there's probably like 99% of things can be automated, right? There's probably that 1% of where you actually need to do something as a person kind of a thing. But so much of technology can help you automate 99% of it. And if you don't think you can eliminate things from your thing, from your calendar or list, like it's, that's going to be a mindset. Cause and like you said earlier, Steve, like as the CEO, founder, or higher up, right, VP, executive, like you should be trying to get as many things off your plate as possible and only focusing on those things that's going to move your business or your department forward the furthest and most efficient way. And then if you think that you can't delegate, like that's definitely a mindset thing. Like I heard somebody, I can't remember who it was, but there was like, I think it was some business guy, and somebody else was telling the story, like Jim Rohn or something like that. But they're telling a story of like a business guy, and when he's like, when he gets in his boardroom and he's the smartest person in the boardroom, he's like, I've done something wrong. He's like, I should be the dumbest person in the room, because everybody in their positions should be know how to do their job better than I know how to do their job. And so like, that's delegating all that stuff out. So you should be able to get as much off your plate as possible. So I just kind of want to throw that out there. If you're struggling with any of those and like, well, that doesn't work for my business or my industry, because it works for the vast majority of industries and very, 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 very few people and or positions or things can either be automated, delegated, or eliminated certain tasks and stuff like that. So if you're thinking that way, it's a mindset, and we need to work on that essentially.
And you nailed it. I want to bring it back to one of our clients, Jim Blachek, and he's also been on the podcast a while ago. We interviewed him. He always says this, and I love it. He said, if you don't have employees, you don't have a business. I mean, if you really think about that, if you're doing all these things, even if you have employees and you're still working so hard, then that means you created a job for yourself. In order to have the life, you need to, and also the successful business. So it's not just as a leader, like when we go into companies, it's not like we're creating a life just for the leader. They're having a great life and everyone else is working to make that person have that life. It doesn't work that way. That when we double a company or triple a company, we even quadruple the company, now it comes back to the person. Like you said, Giovanni, the recipe with the person, and they've eliminated the things that are in their mindset that stop them. When that's there and they can have a clear path they can go, then it works. And that is from a team. Many hands make light work. And the African proverb, if you want to go somewhere quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that's where we bring team together. And really everyone is working on the one thing to win. And everyone is doing that thing that is going to make the most. And it really does. So we take these tactics, and if you find yourself, and if snakes come out of your, oh, you should have saw Melissa's face when you said that, Giovanni. But a good thing we recorded this. If you have snakes coming out, then you just start a new business and you sell snakes or something. But no, all joking aside, it might seem crazy like that. You're like, I don't know why it's not working for me. And when you find yourself in that, then then you, and like to Giovanni's point, you need to look inward. This has been so powerful today, I think, to talk about these things. And I think we can talk more and more about this, you know, and we're at the end of the time today, but I don't know, like as closing, I don't know if there's like one or two sentences, like, and I really mean like one or two sentences, like keep it really short of the, for each of you, because maybe it's different. Like, what was the first thing, like from this whole conversation, what would you say is the first step for people? Maybe just go around real quick, each of us, try to keep it really short.
And about the first step, like, but as you're like, we're saying that, and then you said, you know, the first step, I looked at my notes and I wanted to say this earlier, but, and maybe I'll just end with this, but it's like, allow yourself to be okay with just the one thing. Because I think a lot of people will have the one thing, but then like, okay, I got to do more things now, right? Like, so just allow yourself to be able to focus. And if it only takes you 2 hours in the day, like be okay with that and like allow that to come through and then have the rest of your fun, have the rest of your day. So yeah, I'll leave you with that.
One of our clients is working 3 days a week right now, and her company is bigger than ever before. And she does still have mindset where she says, oh, am I not doing enough? But she keeps growing. So it's like, yes. So if you do the one thing to win and that's all you do, you'll actually outgrow yourself for the person that is a workaholic doing all the things that don't matter as much. Stephanie or Melissa, what's the one thing that you want to exemplify before we close out this episode?
Intention. For me, that was kind of like, what do I intend for my life? Because I couldn't even prioritize or plan my fun if I didn't understand what my why, my intention, my mindset. It really took me going inside of me to determine what I really wanted in order to get there. Even before, you know, like you have a vision for your business, but what is your intention on a daily basis? And that one thing can really begin to help you focus in a way that allows you to build the momentum that you may be missing.
Thank you, Melissa. Stephanie, what do you got for us? What's the one thing that you would take away?
Yeah, just the prioritization, and not just in business, but in life. I think we all could say, if someone asked us like, well, what are, you know, where are your priorities? And I think we probably know in our heart, but is that also, does that translate into our life, the life part? So do we know what's important? And are we prioritizing that? And then same thing with our business. What is the most important thing? And are we prioritizing that? So just looking at the prioritization, but on both sides of the coin, the business and the life, I would say is key.
Yeah. And I think I want to echo all of that. You know, we have to look, if we want the life that we want, we have to look at what experiences do we want? And, you know, I know it's cliche to say, but what are the top 10 things you want to do before you die? You should be writing that down. Then we design our life so that can be included, whether it's a daily, weekly, monthly, annually, you're doing something. Because some of them are not just a big trip to some exotic place in the world. Sometimes it's like how we want to be with our kids, or how we want to do this, or we want to learn music or language or dancing. So whatever those things are, you can start to include that, those experiences in your daily life. So what experiences do you want? What, you know, what is the design of that? And then we can say, what is our business going to look like? What is our career going to look like? So basically it's listing out the experiences, designing the life that we want, and then we build the career or business around that to support it. So now the abundance that you're creating is supporting the life you want, instead of creating abundance so someday you can have your life, because that just doesn't work. And like so many of us will get to old age, you won't even have the body, physical body that you want to enjoy the things you wanted to enjoy, because so much of life will pass. And even my own father, by the time he stopped working, which he didn't choose to, he got hurt at work, then he started to go into early dementia. And now I can't have a conversation with my father without him repeating himself 6 or 7 times within a 5 to 10 minute conversation. And don't wait. Don't wait. Because he didn't get to do a lot of things that he wanted to do. So that's my one thing. live. We love you all. Thank you so much for listening. And if you got something out of this, please share it with others. Give us a review so other people will be attracted to it. You know, so it's not just helping us get listeners, but if you're getting value by you sharing this with others, putting a review, liking it, you are helping others find this tool so we can keep this conversation going and work to our goal, which is to help as many people as we can have the freedom they desire. So if you're finding any tools out of this to have your freedom, then please, please share with others and give us comments. Share on social media or whatever is best for you to communicate with us, or send us an email at success@stevenoplaton.com. And we would love to hear your feedback. We would love to hear what you would like to talk about, what you would like to talk about us. Yes, Melissa's just messaging me, like and subscribe, please, so that we can continue to help you. As always, I want to remind you to choose gratitude and create your freedom. We'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to the More Business, More Life podcast. I hope you got value. And if you did, we have so many more things for you at stevenoplaton.com. You'll be able to connect with us on social media. We are active. You can ask us questions. And then on top of that, I want to give you a really big gift. And it truly is. We want to give so much value. We have an offering. It's a program called Clear Path to Customers. It's the same way that we attract wow clients and only working with the right people, the people we want to. And it's transformed my business into millions more in revenue with the right people and my clients. And we're doing it absolutely free. So you can go to stevenoplaton.com and grab that. You just got to put in your information. We'll send it to you promptly. And that again is on stevenoplaton.com. I look forward to having you on the next show. Until then, remember, choose gratitude and create freedom.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.